Oh, thank God. Thank God he is good to us, isn't he? Thank God. There's a lot of things that are not worth putting our hope in. More people, I heard somebody say just this last week, more young people believe in UFOs than Social Security. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If your hope's in Social Security, those of you who are drawing, I'm glad for you. Thank God that the Lord chose that to meet all that. But we might as well just realize there's some things that aren't worth putting our hope in. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something that is worth investing our hope in. Thank God. I've got hope tonight. Amen. It's good to see you. Good to see everybody. Somebody asked me when I come in this morning about last time I was preaching here, we was facing an audit that next week. Well, I went to the audit and I had my paperwork, I had my little paper clips, I had my glasses so I could see what I wrote down. I had everything, and the only thing I was missing was the auditor. He never showed up. He never showed up. So I thought, well, you know, that might be, you know, I was ready to give the Lord any credit he wanted, Lord. I mean, you know, if you're the one who smote the Assyrians, and I don't really want this man to die, but I really don't want this audit either, so however you want to fix it. And but after a few weeks, he called me back, and we was preaching revival in Indiana, and he said, we really do need to reschedule. I said, well, I was afraid of that. But I went in there and spent 4 hours with him, showed him everything I had, done everything I could to be as open as I could. He asked me dangerous questions, serious questions. Like, he asked me how much money was in my wife's purse right then. I haven't known that answer for 30 years. I thought, if they're all like that, I'm in trouble. But after 4 hours, audited in 2 years, I had to write him a big check for $73.41. And it was a total waste of his time, and I was glad. That's one day I was glad for government inefficiency. He spent way more than he made, and I was glad. He said usually in a four-hour appointment he collects about $10,000. And I thought, well, I'd at least like to know what it's like to be somebody he could get $10,000 out of. Because, I mean, if he get $10,000 out of me, I want to see how he did it, because I might try that later. But the Lord's faithful to us, isn't he? If it had worked out wrong and bad and I'd end up owing him money, the Lord's still good. He's still faithful. Let's go to Habakkuk tonight, chapter 3. Brother Shoecraft got us started tonight talking about this subject, and all day long this is what's been burning in my heart. So I sort of felt like that's where I felt like I might be riding the same track that he was talking about rejoicing. And I felt this on my heart. So let's go to Habakkuk chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 18. It says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." That's a good verse. Let's read it again. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Let's ask for the Lord's help tonight. Father, you are here. We don't have to invite you to come. You're here. Thank you for your touch. Thank you for those who've been here worshiping, receiving. Now, Lord, move in this part of the service. Don't let it be a waste, but let it be a great time of receiving of your people, strength from your word. For faith comes by hearing the word of God. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can you say amen? John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 11 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain, and that your joy might be full." You see there in John's writing here, it's clear that there's a few things that can happen with joy. One is that it may or may not remain. Jesus is telling us there's some options here, and one of them is that joy may or may not remain. And not only that, but maybe you've got a joy that remains, but it's not quite full. So there's several things here that can be options or diversions, or maybe you can get off track with joy. One is that you don't have any, and the other is that you don't have enough. Now, I'm going to tell you something, that there's been way too many days that I got by with just that little spattering of joy. That little, that just enough to, you know, sort of like, what is it about teenagers that they're allergic to the gas pump? Now, my kids, with traveling and things, and when we're home, I buy the gas. And matter of fact, don't tell Dave Ramsey, but they got a credit card in their pocket. They don't even have to put it, just zip, and they will. And I don't understand why it is that the ride is better if you got a quarter tank of gas than if it's full. And we live out in the country, and there have been times when I had my morning devotion trying to get back to town. But I want to ask you a serious question. Why is it that God looks down on His children and says, why is it I've given them provision? I've made it possible that they could have joy. And if we're not careful, brother and sister, we'll get by on just enough to make it through. But God said, Jesus prayed here, I've got some prayer requests for the people that I love. Number one, that you have joy at all. And number two, that it's not just a little adequate measure, but that it might be full. Can somebody say amen? Yeah. So it's clear. I can have joy, and I can have joy that's full. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this car drives me crazy, and I've gotten too fat, and I got to breathe. Oxygen is an essential element in the human existence. I went to the doctor yesterday, and he told me I was fat as ever, and that'll be $72. I'm just glad under Obamacare they haven't started charging me by the pound. It's all your fault. When I was pastor and I had food in the cupboard, but people was driving me crazy, I didn't feel like eating. And now I'm evangelizing, and y'all fix those great things, high carbohydrate, high fat. And it's all your fault. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. There is a permanent kind of joy that no man can take away. Now, that tells me a lot right there. Number one, it tells me that much of what I call joy must not be joy, because it fails the litmus test, because there is way too many times when men, including myself, take that joy away. And so it must not be the kind of joy that he's referring to here, because this kind of joy, it is impenetrable by any human being and their actions and their attitudes and their words and all that influence me on a daily basis. There's a joy that comes no matter what your children are doing. There's a joy that comes no matter what the doctor says. There's a joy that comes no matter what the boss man has to say. I'm here to tell us there's a divine joy. It's not just the power of positive thinking, but it is an essential ingredient in a spirit-filled life that it can stay no matter what man has to say. No man can take this joy from you. That means bill collectors can't take it. That means bad bosses can't take it. Look out now. That means in-laws can't take it. The government can't take it. some time back, some folks have printed a little Baptist paper there in Little Rock. They're conservative Baptist folks, and they got a message on their voicemail and said, it was a pro-homosexual group. Said, if you don't stop publishing anti-gay propaganda in your paper, we're going to sue you. And so she called me, Diane called me and said, they say they're going to sue us. And she said, you know what we're going to do? I said, I can imagine, but tell me. She said, we're going to print on. We're going to print the truth and just tell them, sue, sue, sue. Now, if your name's Sue, don't get offended. That's not what they're talking about. I'm going to tell you, the government is no longer for us. When you buy a white car, all you see is white cars. And so I put it up to that. But the fact is, there is a slant in our government. And I know of many preachers who've never been harassed by the government who are now being pulled up and audited like they've never been pulled up and audited before, because the government doesn't like what we stand for or who we are. Amen. And God is my witness. I didn't want to go through that crazy audit. It took much paperwork and all the things. But I'm going to tell you, I sat right there in that little cubicle with that man, and I began to tell him about, you know, preaching and different things and on and on. And I felt the joy of the Lord. Oh, he's about ready to probably repo my firstborn. Maybe if I could pick, I'd have been happier. But the fact was, I didn't have any power over my joy. There's a joy that comes when even your government says you're a problem. There's a joy that comes even when your children say what you believe is absolutely crazy. I'm here to tell you, there's a divine dispensation of joy that comes from another world. And they look at you and they marvel. But God gave it to us, and we can't afford to let any man take it away. Yeah. Woo. I will joy. That's what he said. I will joy. That tells me that there's a choice to make. There's a choice to make whether we have joy. I was thinking during the service, and I'm not trying to butter him up, because I'm just not that way. If somebody felt like I was trying to butter him up, I'd come up with some good, sarcastic, humbling remark to change their thinking. But one thing I love about Brother Shoecraft is he's a very optimistic person. Yeah, and I'm not. When they pass that optimism, I must have been in the break room. But there's way too many days when I made the wrong choice. Instead of the choice Habakkuk made when he said, I will joy. Several months ago, problems, and Valerie's been battling sickness, and we've been tied down a little bit. She's had asthma and been to the ER several times, and she's having to get some shots and two a week, and we're about to the end of it, and so we're thankful for that. But I woke up with problems on my mind, just woke up with them on my mind. Now, you got to get through years of training before you can wake up and worry. Some of you, it takes a while to warm up. You got to have coffee, and then you slowly just kind of pull into worrying. But some of us, we've got a degree, and we can just wake up and worry. My grandma said that she used to wake up in the middle of the night when there was nothing to worry about, and she'd worry because she knew the kids weren't telling her everything. But I woke up after tossing and turning all the night because of worry. This is only the second time it's ever happened to me in my whole experience of serving God. But I woke up with the Spirit of the Lord all over me from head to toe. I woke up in the presence of the Lord. And these three words echoed through my mind. I choose joy. I rolled out of the bed and went to the little place there where I study, and I began to read these scriptures, and I realized that I will joy. That's really what it means, is I choose joy. There's a road, there's a fork in the road there every day, and many days I've taken the wrong turn. But there's a time and a place when we've got to shake ourselves and say, you know what? There's many things I'm worried about. That's not on my list. I can't do anything about that wayward child as far as what they're going to do today. I want them to be saved, and I'm going to pray that it happens. But I will tell you this, they do not get to vote on whether I have joy. I will joy. I choose today to walk into strength. Nehemiah looked around at all that debris, all that work to be done, and said, listen, it's not an option. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Woo! Yeah! The joy. When we choose not to have joy, we've literally let the devil unplug us from strength. And we go all the day with no real strength. And he wins another day. Somebody say amen. I will joy. Paul cried, I want to finish my course. But I don't just want to finish it. I got a choice to make. I can get bitter about all these things, but I made a choice a long time ago, so I'm going to finish this course with joy. I choose joy. Whom, having not seen you love, and whom, though you see him not yet believe and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Ken Hutchinson, in his book, Hope is Contagious, he wrote of a circumstance trying in his life, battling cancer. He tells this story, and I want to share it with you. His point is you can face anything in life with joy. He records the following thoughts. He said, I was relaxing in my recliner after spending 5 hours in the emergency room the night before. I'll admit I was exhausted. The pain medication wasn't working as well as I would have liked. I looked around and saw my family going about their lives as usual, chores, music, laughter. My wife Pat was fixing breakfast, and even our new puppy was sitting in a comfortable routine, enjoying everyone's efforts to spoil him. A visitor stopped by to chat. Some friends from church surprised me with a birthday cake. I'd almost forgotten it was my birthday. So there I sat, surrounded by so much goodness, even as I was feeling lousy. My favorite cake was staring at me. I had no appetite. My 11-year-old runs past me, and I don't even have enough energy to get up and grab him and wrestle him to the ground like I used to. I'm trying to have conversation with my guests, but between the short night and the powerful pain meds, I can barely stay alert. And you know what I'm thinking? Can you imagine how close I am to being overwhelmed? The words practically shout from inside me. Isn't God good? What a privilege it is to be His child. I got a rhetorical question. That word rhetorical means I'm wasting my time even asking it and wasting your time having to answer it. But what are you facing today that having no joy is helping? What are you going through today that the absence of joy is really helping you? Well, let's ask it the other way. How different would my circumstances be if I changed what I could change, and that is me having joy? Oh, God. Oh, I feel the Lord here tonight. Good Friday came after Christmas, but the angel still sang at the manger. In the midst of the hard reality of life, there always needs to be a welcome to tenderness and beauty and joy. I'm here to tell you, brother and sister, we've got some Good Fridays ahead of us, but that doesn't mean we still can't rejoice, because it's Christmas and God is good and there's joy, and I can have a choice to make today. There's things I love to snap my finger and make go away, but that's not anything I can do, but I can have joy. Oh, yeah. Oh, let's lift our hands and give him some praise tonight. Yes. Woo. Joy. Oh, I feel the Lord here tonight. Woo. My grandmother's 94 years old. She had a twin. Every day of her life, all they've known is either visiting or calling each other. When my aunt went in the hospital, they called each other 3 and 4 times a day. My grandmother's a widow, and Aunt Mary's a widow, and Aunt Mary got in pitiful shape, and she passed away. And in the family, my mom's people thought that it would finish off Grandma, and that was the last. Losing Grandpa was terrible, and now this was they'd never known a day without their genetic twin being right there, and it looked like it was the last straw for that old saint of God. But I'll tell you, she was so feeble, and yet the children said, we might as well not even talk to her about not going. If it kills her, she's going to go. And she made it up that long aisle in that Pentecostal church, and she sat right down beside her sister, and it looked like it was going to overwhelm her. But I'll tell you what showed up. Joy showed up. And there, when words couldn't be found, that sweet heavenly language began to break forth. And that joy that is such a mystery, he said, I'll turn your mourning into dancing. I'm here to tell you, there is real joy. It is not something that we work up. It is a gift, but we got to choose that I want joy right here. Let's praise him. Let's worship him. Come on, church. Oh, God. Oh, God. Woo! Woo! Lord, begin your song. I'm not going to preach much longer. I feel the Lord here tonight. Oh, I feel the Lord. Woo! Well, Habakkuk, that great spiritual giant, he said, I got a choice to make. But you know how them preachers are. They put a load on people that they wouldn't touch themselves. That must be what Habakkuk got by with here, telling me in verse 18, I must rejoice in the Lord. That word rejoice there literally means jump for joy. I'm going to jump for joy in the Lord. I'm going to joy in the God of my salvation. But let's see here now. Did he just get that new bonus? Or he must have picked up that new truck. Well, that new coon dog must have finally earned its keep. Well, let's see here. Habakkuk, what's going on in your life? Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. The reason we can't keep our joy is because we've invested it in things too low. But when our joy is in him, the devil can't jump that high. I said, the devil can't jump that high. So all these low things may be touched by the enemy, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Oh God, I want to have the joy. I will joy in you. Woo! I tell you what, y'all, it feels a little almost explosive around here. And if two or three people made up their mind, I want joy in the midst of my problem, I believe we might have church around here a little bit. Woo! I will joy in the God of my salvation. Some of you have got the same little card in your wallet that I've got in mine. It's a season pass. And it's a season pass to a place called Someday I'll. Someday I'll have joy. Someday I'll be happy. Those who are single say they'll be happy when they're married. And those who have children know they'll be happy when they're grown. And so you pull out that pass that says, someday I'll have joy. Isn't it a little odd that your last trial looks so much like this trial? And they both sort of look like the one year ago. Could it be that God's waiting on you to tear up the pass and decide, I'm going to have joy now. I'm not going to wait till it gets better. I'm not going to wait till it all works out. I will have joy now. I can't promise you, but I can really, really strongly suggest something. Once you decide to have joy where you are, God will change where you are. But he's waiting on you to tear up the past to someday I'll. And decide, although the figs and the vines and the herd, all that, just go ahead. I'm not hanging on that, but I'll tell you what I'm hanging on. The fact that God is my strength, and I'm going to joy where I'm at right now. I'm not going to wait till I retire to be happy. I'm going to be happy working as hard as I can work. I'm not going to wait till this old Arthur lets me go. I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation right now. I'm not going to wait till my children come back to God to have joy. I'm going to have joy right now. Why, I'm going to make them suspicious. I'm so afraid that I've lost my mind in God that they'll come to church just to make sure I don't hurt myself. I'm here to tell you, we can have joy, but we got to decide, I'm not going to have it tomorrow. I'm going to have it now. Stand with me this evening and let's give God the praise. Woo! Joy! Anybody besides me want to make sure their joy is full? Let's come stand in the presence of God. Bring your circumstances. Bring your heartache. God won't be offended. And bring your heart that says, God, I want joy that stays.
This joy that I've got, oh, the world didn't give it to me. I said, this joy, I want joy that I've got,
yeah,
the world didn't give it to me.